Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture readings are from Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And the second reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, we ask that your Spirit will now quiet our hearts and our minds just to be in your presence, to be willing to receive whatever it is you want to tell each and every one of us individually this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is as relevant as it's ever been. And bless us now with your message, we pray. And we do so in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm doing a four-part series of messages called Both And. And most people, I think, find, you know, clear-cut categories helpful, right? So somehow they make life easier to understand when it's either black or it's white. Or you're either red or you're blue. It's either or. But as I said, you know, last week and the week before, real people don't fit neatly into those kind of boxes. Because as human beings, we are full of tensions and paradoxes. And if we can somehow manage to embrace those tensions and those paradoxes, I think it can bring immense depth and beauty to life. So we are exploring how faith, right, how faith in Christ calls us away from an either-or experience of the world and into the wonderful truth of both and. And we've talked about heart and head. We've talked last week about sacred and secular. And so today is about what Pink Floyd sang about, okay? It's about us and them. We're focusing on us and them. And one of our deepest desires as human beings, our deepest needs, is to belong, okay? We want to belong. We all have a need. We all have a desire to belong. And when you look in the Bible, you see how individuals are described in terms of their belonging to the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want you, just for a moment, to think about who are your people? Sometimes you hear people say, or someone saying, you know, these are my peeps, right? So who are your peeps? Who are your people? Just think about that just for a moment. Who are your people? And also think about if there's ever been a time in your life when you experienced the pain of exclusion. Maybe you were new to a community, maybe you were new to a school, and you were made to feel as if you don't belong. You felt unwelcome. So group identity, I mean, it can be helpful. It can make us feel like we belong. But there's also the possibility that group identity can harden into something that's exclusionary and harmful. And here's the thing, okay? Categories like us and them can give us a false sense of identity and community based on who's inside and who is outside. But through Jesus, we no longer have to identify ourselves this way because we're called to reach across those boundaries with God's love in action. Because you see, it is unity in Christ that offers the deepest belonging. Because this belonging does not define itself over and against outsiders or enemies. No, it is defined by a love that both goes out and also draws in. And when we are at our best as a Christian community, it embodies unity, this unity. So let's go a little deeper. The amazing thing, I think, is that our awesome God claims all of us as beloved children. He actually makes us part of His family. In our passage from Galatians, we have these contrasting identity markers. It talks about Jew and Greek, slave, free person, male, female. Our human tendency is to split the world up into us and them. Now, in the broader context of both Galatians and Hebrews, especially chapter 11 of Hebrews, you find that the most obvious us versus them during that time were Jews and Gentiles. They didn't get along very well, to be frank, okay? But Paul says, faith in Christ Jesus is what makes each of you equal with each other. Equal with each other, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, whether you're a slave or a free person, or a man or a woman. Because see, in Christ's family, there can no longer be division. All are equal. In Christ, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. In Christ, there is no East or West. So if you belong to Christ, you are now part of Abram's family, God's family. You will be given what God has promised. So to be a descendant of Abram and therefore a child of God is to belong not on the basis of race, not on the basis of culture or background. It is on the basis of the love of God that He showed for the world in Jesus. Now, does this mean that we no longer carry identities or qualities that make us different from each other? You know, the distinctions that make us who we are. No, of course not. I'm not saying that. What it does mean, though, is that those identities or qualities, whether you're white or whether you're black or whether you're American or whether you're Mexican or whether you're a Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, these things are not the basis for our belonging to God and His family. Those things are not the basis for belonging to the community of God's children. Now listen carefully. It's not something we are, you know, for instance, your race or ethnicity, or something we do that makes us children of God. So we cannot claim ownership of it or use it as the basis for excluding other people. It's just a word of caution, okay, for the times we're living in. We cannot include and exclude people today in the world and even in the church because we believe we have the right to be God's children. If anything, our belonging in Christ should shape the way we include other people. So first of all, you know, God chooses, this amazing thing, God chooses us as His beloved children in Christ, and He includes us in His family. The second thought for today is that we should show hospitality to others. Radical hospitality. If we descend in us versus them thinking, what happens is the stranger is perceived as an outsider. The stranger becomes the enemy or threat. I think, would you agree that we're seeing a lot of this in the world and in our country today? So if we're going to take God's word seriously, what we see throughout Scripture is that God is clear that strangers, while different in ways, are not necessarily enemies or threats. And that what we are called to do is to treat them with radical hospitality. A text from Hebrews, says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some of you have entertained angels without even knowing it. God's word says, remember to welcome strangers. So Jesus was talking to his followers, okay, about God's future kingdom and how those who believed and followed him will receive their reward. And he says, my Father has blessed you, so come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. And then he goes on, Jesus, and says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. You gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in jail, you visited me. And it says in verse 37, then the ones who pleased the Lord will ask, when? When did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger or give clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick or in jail? And the king will answer, whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. So you see, hospitality to strangers, it's not just about being nice, okay? It's how we can actually encounter God. And when we show hospitality to others, it is as if we are showing hospitality to our Lord. Finally, let me just share a few words about harmony in church. You know, sometimes we think everybody should be like us, right? Everyone should be like me, like us. And if not, they're not part of us, but part of them, right? And I truly believe it makes God sad to see the extreme division going on today, even in the church. And I believe God's desire for us, especially as children of God, is for unity, for oneness. Jesus said that. But unity in diversity. Now, I've explained this before, but there's a difference between unity and uniformity. Okay? Uniformity is when we expect everyone to be the same. Everyone should be like us. We should all have the exact same political persuasions. We should all dress the same way. We should all look alike and have the exact same beliefs about things. So we are not looking for uniformity, no. We're looking for unity. And unity, on the other hand, leaves room for diversity, even though you think differently about certain things, or dress differently, or speak differently. We're still part of God's family. We're still part of God's church. There is unity. Why? Because we all belong, in the first place, to Christ. But here's a different way to explain it. In orchestral and choral music, you have different instruments and multiple different notes. But they all come together to create beautiful music and rich and full harmonies that are more beautiful than any one line or instrument could be on its own. The Bible offers the image of one body with many different parts. Our bodies don't have just one part. do they? They are the hands and the eyes and the ears and the heart and the legs and the feet, and you get the idea. And it takes many parts to be one body. So the eye needs the hands, and the hands need the fingers, and the legs need the feet, and so forth. And it says he did this to make all parts of the body work together smoothly, with each part caring about the others. And then it says, if one part of our body is honored, the whole body will be happy together. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of his body. So we're different, yes, and we have different spiritual gifts and a heart for different things, a passion for different things. We have different personalities, if you don't know, you have never noticed that. Different abilities, experienced. We're experienced in different things, but we all belong to the same body, the body of Christ, the church. There's unity in diversity. So you see, the church is a place for both us and them together. And the truth is, we need each other. So I want you to try something. I want you to do something, if it's okay. I don't like to manipulate people, but I mean, I'm going to ask you to do this, okay? Turn to the person next to you or behind you or in front of you and just say, I need you. All right, and now you say, well, you need me. All right? We're the body of Christ, and we need one another. So if, you know, as I end this message, let me just ask you to honestly reflect and ask yourself, what are some of the us and them categories you use to understand and manage the world or even the church? Is it religion? Is it nationality? Is it maybe political persuasion? Is it sexual orientation? Sometimes people feel when they put us versus them, you know, it helps them to understand their own identities better, right? Maybe you're using less obvious categories. Like, you know, all those extroverts, right? They take up all the time. And all those introverts, you know, what do? Nothing, right? trashy and classy. Patient, impatient. All those who love traditional music in church, and all those who love contemporary music. So I want to invite you to make a shift from the typical us versus them way of seeing the world to understanding yourself as a child of God. And when you do that, maybe that emoji that I showed the children, maybe that will be who you are. It'll also shift the way you see other people. Maybe you need to be more intentional about creating some relationships with people who you think are very different from you. And often when you get to know them, you see that they're not that different after all. And even if you find them to be very, very different on all kinds of levels, you can still respect them as much as you would like to be respected. And so I pray that CCD, our church, will never give the impression that there's an us, you know, versus them mentality in our church. I pray that we will convey the message clearly that we are all God's children, that we will show radical hospitality to all people, That the harmony others see and experience in our church will draw them to God and to God's love. And that CCD, at CCD, they will experience a sense of belonging. Belonging, because they're all included and not excluded. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. We live in challenging, difficult times, and my prayer is just simply that we will again realize that we're all children of God, that we're one body in Christ, that we should respect each other, respect other people, love other people, include everybody, not exclude them for whatever reason. May you bless us, may your Spirit enable us to be a loving and a welcoming church for all people. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.